You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
It's not worth the bloodshed, violation of God's word. And good people are very grateful to the Lord for stopping them slash us from doing evil. And maybe you had an intent to really do something wrong and God stopped it, and you're very grateful, and that's what's happening here. Saul had his inactive regret. Sorry, David, didn't mean to hunt you down. I'll be chasing you next week, though. But when David has a regret, he's serious about it and he takes steps to fix it.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 Samuel. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio. Specifically, how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Unwasted Virtue is the title of Pastor Rick's message, and today he'll be teaching in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 25.
Verse 25, let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Well, she get that out. It's been pinned up a long time. She probably had a lot more to say, but now's not the time. The circumstances dictated that she discloses her knowledge of this man and her position about this man as she is interceding for his life. She could say, can you just kill him? She could leave. Wait, look, the other people, they're innocent, but if you take him out, plenty more raisin cakes where that came from. So, Nabal, he was rich and he was mean. It was a common combination. And I have another W.C. Fields quote. I found them in my notes from last time. You know, these are really good. Talking about mean people, W.C. Fields said, I start every day with a smile and get it over with. I'm going to try that. Don't you ever smile? I do when I wake up. Anyway, back to this vile person. He says, but I, your maidservant, verse 25, at the bottom of the verse, did not see the young man of my Lord whom you sent. She is saying, you know, you're right, David, and I would have dealt with this differently. I'm in agreement with you. And so he's finding, you know, he's finding a companion in spirit, and she's saying, you have friends in the camp. Kind word turns back wrath, and he's giving her time to do that. This is her wisdom, her insights, her gifts, all of this together. It's a combination of these things, no single thing. Verse 26, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since Yahweh has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. Well, when she says here, as your soul lives, you've been held back from bloodshed, well, he could have just killed her. I mean, he's enraged. Somebody else might have done that. She knew God sent her to this very moment for this purpose, and he does too. He's going to admit it later. And she quickly brings the Lord, the covenant name of Yahweh, to the front, knowing that David will honor that. Saul would do it, but Saul didn't mean it. But David knows, I think that as she's speaking, she certainly is gauging the moment. If she looks at him in his face, she's going to see in his countenance that there is kindness behind those angry eyes, because she never finds it in Nabal. You could say she would have been trained to notice the absence of kindness. And when she detects there is kindness, she continues to go forward. And so far, so good. But she still hears the bomb ticking. It's not totally diffused. There's still more to be said. And she knew about avenging herself firsthand because of whom she lived with. I mean, she could have probably put the wrong kind of mushrooms in the stew one night.
Of course, that might be a reach on my part, but it is... her character would never have done it. Anyway, David, she is saying, you will be guilty of breaking the law. Exodus 23, it makes it clear you're not to punish the innocent with the guilty. And David was going to wipe out all the men, and they were innocent. And she is bringing that up. God is withholding your hand from bloodshed, she says. Now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. What does that mean? Only thing that can mean is Nabal really is harmless. He can't beat you, David. And I hope all of your enemies are like that. I hope Saul can never beat you and no one else. And that's David went to his grave unbeaten. He lost a battle here and there, but he was not killed on the battlefield, and he had spent a lot of time there. So she says, may they your enemies be weak. He's liking that. Verse 27, talk about you get more with honey than vinegar, man. She is just masterful at this. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my lord. Now she's got his leadership out in the open. David could say, you know what, I'll take him anyway and still kill everybody. But of course, she knows that he is a greater man than this. And David, he is certainly got to be encouraged by this and impressed by her spirit, her tone, her words, her humility, all of it brought to bear, all of it brought to the front, the scriptural truths that she is using. There, she did not just use God's name, she also uses his word. Verse 28, pause. All, as magnificent as her performance is, it would have failed on Nabal. Takes two to tango. It still comes down to the individual. Nabal would have never given her this space. Verse 28, please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for Yahweh will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of Yahweh, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. This is profound. I mean, now she's bringing up the battle with Goliath, the duel with Goliath. She knows he's pushing all the right buttons. In 2 weeks, she'll be free. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but the harsh word stirs up anger. Well, Nabal stirred up the anger. Nabal, his wife, is using the soft answer. What a contrast in the two. How many people were saying bad things about Abigail because they liked Nabal's money or something else about him? They would be fools too. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. Again, you're not guilty. No matter what anybody says, she bears no guilt. Because people like him make the innocent feel guilty. For Yahweh will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house. She's saying God can do better with this and has promised you he is going to do better with this. You're going to keep going. This is not going to stop you. Nabal telling you no, insulting you, it's not going to stop you from getting to the throne. What can he say to that? Can he say, yeah, well, I can't be king now because I was insulted? Of course he can't say that. Then she says this. This has got to get him because my Lord fights the battles of Yahweh. Can't say that about Saul. With Samuel now gone, who's fighting the battles of Yahweh? Saul, of course, he fought against Yahweh. So the inference is that David is destined for greatness by the hand of God. And he's not supposed to descend into personal spats and feuds along the way. Man, she is amazing. Because my Lord fights the battles of Yahweh, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house. Notice her play on words. She doesn't say, for Yahweh will certainly make for my Adonai. She says, the great Adonai, the great Lord, not using the covenant name, but a term of great respect, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord an enduring house. David is currently childless, and she is saying, you're going to have kids. They're going to last. God's going to put you on the throne. And, you know, reminiscent of the Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. You know, you can know the Bible and know not what to do with it. You can know the Bible and do the wrong thing with it, like Satan there in the wilderness against the Lord. Or you can know the scripture and apply it the right way as she is doing. And evil is not found in you throughout your days. Don't ruin your future, David. Yeah, we all mess up. We all have shortcomings. She doesn't know the degree of his mistakes that are coming, but she knows God will make it through that with David. Verse 29, yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with Yahweh your God, and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. It doesn't stop. She is making sure, talk about driving these points home. She says, yet a man has risen to pursue and seek your life. Of course, that would be Saul. She is acknowledging that because Nabal's not pursuing David. David likes to hear that. She's on his side. But then she says, but the life of my Lord is bound in the bundle of the living with the Yahweh your God. This is another reference to Genesis. It was Judah that said to Joseph about Jacob that Jacob's life was bound in the bundle of the lad, Benjamin. You're asking us to leave Benjamin, but it will kill the father. And she's drawing this language out, a scriptural language. David would have been picking up on this. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out from the pocket of a sling. Oh, come on, Abby, it's a little thick now. A deliberate choice of words in a delicate situation. The bomb's not ticking so much now. This, she's bringing up the giant. She is saying, God took him out. What makes you think he's not going to take out your other enemies? His hand is on you, David. That was an effortless victory in the Valley of Elah. Nobody thought you'd win that. Nobody thinks you're going to be free from Saul, but God knows you are. Satan can pursue you. God can sling him out. It is a Goliath point made by Abigail. David has to be thinking at this time, what a woman. When he rides away, the men are going to say to themselves, what just happened? We just gird your swords, men. And they're all going back, their shoulders down, kind of humming. Anybody know a good cadence song? Anyway, I'm sorry for even bringing that up to myself because most of the cadence songs are lewd. Anyway, verse 30, and it shall come to pass when Yahweh has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel. We pause there. David, when he says, when God is going to appoint you ruler, that's king, he's got to be saying to himself, oh man, I want it to be today. When is this going to be? She is saying to him, Nabal is not going to matter to your future. It's not worth the bloodshed, the violation of God's word. And good people are very grateful to the Lord for stopping them / us from doing evil. And maybe you had an intent to really do something wrong and God stopped it and you're very grateful, and that's what's happening here. Saul had his inactive regret. Sorry, David, didn't mean to hunt you down. I'll be chasing you next week, though. But when David has a regret, he's serious about it and he takes steps to fix it. He acts upon his ill-intended action by not going forward. Because what could stop him? There was nothing between Nabal and David that could stop him. He was a juggernaut at that moment, except for Abigail. And she says, and has appointed you ruler over Israel. By faith, she knows that David is predestined by God to be king, just like Rahab knew the Jews were predestined to conquer the land. Verse 31, it says, again, Abigail does not fight like a man. It's like a woman. And that is something that, of course, Satan is trying to throw out of this society. So there is no distinction between a male, I mean, femininity. I mean, the world hates femininity now. But it is very beneficial to us to know that the world is wrong in their approach and God is right, and that women and men have different roles, but they are of equal value to God. Verse 31, that this will be no grief to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, that's scriptural, she's using scripture, That I mentioned Exodus, it's Deuteronomy 19 also, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when Yahweh has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. He's already got the victory written down. She's already saying Saul's not going to get you. David doesn't, he likes this, but he's going to lapse back into, I think Saul's going to get me. We'll get that next chapter. But anyway, she is calling it just like it is. She says, then remember your maidservant. How could he ever forget Abigail? He had never met a woman like this. And how was this speech preserved? I mean, was there a guy with a stylus there? Hold it, Abby. What did you say? Repeat that last line. Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 19. All this, said David, Yahweh made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. He spoke that about the plan of the tabernacle that Solomon built. But what we get out of that is God spoke to his prophets. He spoke to those who wrote the scriptures and preserved them for us. And they were able to research and find the words that were spoken and preserve them. And here it is. This is womanhood at its finest. As we have seen many men, I mean, Daniel, Joseph, I mean, his manhood at its finest, Paul and so many others. This is womanhood at its finest. And she's not manipulative. She's just telling God's truth instead. Verse 32, then David said to Abigail, blessed is Yahweh, God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. There are no better words of peace given in the scripture, and there are no better words of peace received in scripture. It would have been wasted if David said, nah, I'm going to kill him. He does not. He's done. Psalm 141, verse 5. Listen to this about being corrected as he was. Let the righteous strike me. It shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. Do you think David may have had this moment in mind when he wrote Psalm 141? I think there's a direct connection. The verse, we have to move on, unfortunately, because of time, because there's so much more to say. Verse 33, and blessed is your advice, and blessed are you. He's just heralding blessings now. He's just like, really, I'm sorry, Abigail. Here's my wallet. Because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. So he confesses the enormity of his intended sin. Some of David's men can hear this, not all of them. I mean, there's 400 of them. The guys in the back camp, well, what's the holdup? How long are we going to wait? It's like stuck in traffic. Anybody got a sandwich? Some of them heard this, and there's no protest, as there was in the cave. Kill them. What do you, let? You know, let's do them in now. Nobody's protesting her speech. Verse 34, for indeed, as Yahweh God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, by the way, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. Yeah, you left out the goodies she brought, David. Because that was a big part of the whole process, too. It costs something to forgive people. He is forgiving in the Old Testament sense of the word. Really, he's not. If Nabal stepped out of the bushes, for example, it probably would have went bad for him at that moment. But in the New Testament, by the New Testament standard, forgiveness is painful. That is the message of the cross. For God to forgive us, the Father's heart had to break at the giving of his Son, and the Son had to, of course, cry out, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so it is a part of forgiveness. And remember that next time you have to forgive and it hurts, it's supposed to hurt. It is not an indication, okay, I'm not going to forgive because this is painful. It's an indication you're supposed to forgive and trust God with the outcome. I like trying to not get in a situation where I have to forgive because it hurts too much. A little humor lost on the crowd. Verse 35, so David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. Job said to those accusers, how forceful are right words? Anyone under Satan? You guys don't know anything about it, but how forceful are right words? And here they are. Would not have been forceful on Nabal. Verse 36, now Abigail went to Nabal And there he was, holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore, she told him nothing, little or much, until morning. She's still wise. Instead of forcing the point, I got to talk to you. And no point in talking to him now. I'll tell him tomorrow. And he is oblivious to the whole thing, that just as wicked people like him are, that righteous people are actively working on their behalf, praying for them, hoping for them, and he's just, this will be his last dance. Verse 37, So it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. He either had a stroke or a heart attack. The thought, he is such a bitter fool. The news of kindness to another at his expense cost him his life. He'd rather die than be kind. And so he got his wish, kind of a thing. The fact, you gave David what? And he just worked himself up, and now he's going to die. Verse 38, and then it happened about 10 days that Yahweh struck Nabal and he died. And so the historian says, this is from God. This is God's hand. This wasn't an accident. Don't go saying, oh, well, you know, stuff like that happens. Yeah, it happens because God sovereignly dealt it out. That's why it happened. And everybody knew it was an act of God. And his lingering gave everybody a chance to think about these things. Verse 39, so when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be Yahweh who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil, for Yahweh has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. This is running out of time. He's not so much rejoicing that, well, I'm glad he's dead, although he's happy he is, but it's the activity of God in judgment, that God fought the fight, administered justice. We want to see this more often from the hand of God. But it is through these hardships that God gets whatever he's getting done accomplished in us, and we submit to him. And there's nothing hell can do about it. But pour on us more trouble, and we endure, and one day God will make it all right. It says David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. He wasted no time. Nobody else going to snatch that one up. You certainly can't blame him, and he does not have to wait for a period of mourning. He can marry her the next day. There's no prohibition on this whatsoever. She is free. Verse 40, when the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her saying, David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife. So men, it is biblical, any of you are single, it is biblical to send somebody else to ask your bride-to-be to marry you. But just be ready for the answer. If you do it that way, be something like, are you kidding? Verse 41, then she arose, bowed her face to the earth, and said, here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Here's another reference to now we got Rebecca from the Old Testament watering the camels. And she's just amazing, this woman. Connection to Genesis. I will be your servant. Verse 42. So Abigail rose in haste, rode on a donkey, attended by five of her maidens. See, she's got her own means. She's got money. She doesn't need, well, let me finish this. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife. Even when she wastes no time. So Abby rose and in haste. She hurried up to do this. Again, she's rich and she leaves her ranch for the wilderness with David. Now she's part of the hunted party of Saul. It's true love. And the Bible does not really focus on this. It doesn't have to. David, verse 43, also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and so both of them were his wife. As David, he messed it all up. I mean, he just wanted to kind of, you know, if he didn't have the sword, give him a shove. Like, can't just be happy with Abigail. But, you know, he's going to have more wives by the time it's done. Anyway, that's how it was done in those days. Verse 44, but Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Paltai, the son of Laish, who was from Galim. Michal was no longer Saul's daughter, and Saul was not free to give her to anybody. David is still married to her, and David is not going to stand for this, and it's going to be a sad part of the story, and it will be sad to the end between he and Michelle because of the bitterness. But anyway, that's our first session of Abby. If you could take a break and come back, we'll do session two.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of Cross Reference Radio. This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Rick is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you'd like to listen again to this or other messages or share it with someone you know, please visit crossreferenceradio.com. Here, you can also listen to interviews with Pastor Rick to learn more about his life and ministry. We encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never miss another edition. All you have to do is find us on your favorite podcast app. You can also access full-length video messages on YouTube. So many options are available to you. Again, if you're not sure where to go, just go to crossreferenceradio.com for resources. Tune in again next time for more Cross Reference Radio.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE. Paradise Air and Heat is your one-stop solution for all your indoor comfort solutions in your home or business. As contractors serving commercial and residential properties, they work hard to provide you with swift, hassle-free service in their full range of products and services. Paradise Air and Heat, serving Brevard County, is available at 321-459-2665, based in Merritt Island. From new unit installations to repairs or ductwork, Paradise Air and Heat is available at 321-459-2665. Paradise Air and Heat understand the value of efficient and reliable air conditioning. They offer knowledgeable replacement advice, quality installations, and solutions to even the most complex and demanding air conditioning needs. That's Paradise Air and Heat, 321-459-2665. Portions of WMIE's broadcasting day are underwritten by Blackfin Web Design. Available at 321-536-6176 and on the web at www.blackfinweb.com. Are you looking for a new website for your business? Blackfin Web Design creates powerful small business websites. Mobile internet usage now far exceeds the traditional desktop usage, yet almost 90% of businesses have traditional desktop websites, making it difficult for customers to find their services. With over 18 years experience, Blackfin Web Design is there to help accommodate your business needs. That's Blackfin Web Design, corporate sponsors of WMIE Radio, available at blackfinweb.com, 321-536-6176.